This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday to you. It's a throwback Thursday today. We've got a pretty good one, a real fun one to do. And we had a fun basketball game last night with the Lakers beating Golden State 103-100. There were four games in this play-in tournament initially, right off the bat, and two of the games were elimination games. Two of the games where you lose, you get to go home, and the other two games were games where if you lose, you still live to play another day, but you only live to play one more day if you don't get your act together. And yet, there didn't seem to be a level of urgency in the three games that I watched to start this. And in the first half of the Lakers-Warriors game, it looked like, again, we were going to be getting another dud. Golden State was up by 12 and looked like they had every answer to whatever LeBron and the Lakers wanted to do. And LeBron and the Lakers looked rather tired. They weren't hitting shots. Anthony Davis was struggling. It just didn't look like a team that was ready to be on the level to play in this game and just said, all right, fine. You know what? We'll play the next night against whoever wins the Memphis-San Antonio game and we'll go from there. But then the Lakers decided in the third quarter to change so much up. This became the most compelling game of the four and the one game where there was a level of urgency that matched what the situation called for. Yes, this was not an elimination game. This was not a game seven. The Golden State Warriors lost, but they will have a chance to have a home game against Memphis for the right to be the eighth seed. But you could not tell that by the way this second half went. This was two guys that refused to lose. LeBron James hitting an unbelievably wild three-pointer with about a minute left that ended up sealing the deal. The Lakers guarding Steph Curry tightly 40 feet away from the basket because that's the kind of thing he can knock down. It was enthralling, it was captivating, and it was what the NBA was looking for in setting this up in the first place. Indiana and Charlotte was a dud. I didn't find Boston, Washington all that entertaining. I saw the second half of the Memphis-San Antonio game after going out to dinner, and yeah, all right. Not bad, not great, but this was excellent. The second half of this game was excellent and a masterclass in strategy. We'll get to that coming up next and where the Golden State Warriors go from here because they got a pesky Memphis team to get by before they get the eighth seed in the West. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
It's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is 1993. This is the final episode of Cheers on this date, May 20th, as Ted Danson, Shelley Long, Norm, Cliff all said goodbye. Sorry, we're closed. The final line of the Cheers that was one of the longest running shows on television. Started, what, 82? 81? That was a long time for the show to be on the air. And the final episode aired today. It was, look, I know television is different these days. And I know with cable and more people and more different things and people just sort of getting away from network television. This was a ratings bonanza. Oh. I mean, it was on the huge numbers. It wasn't MASH numbers, and MASH was still one of the all-time greatest finales of all time. But it was
83 million people.
It was unbelievable.
83 million people tuned in. That's a 50
rating
amount.
Share or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was watching. I was luckily working I was an intern at a television station in Boston, and we did a whole bunch of things for this show. The news department did. I was in the sports department. And so there was all sorts of cool stuff because they filmed a thing in Boston and all that good stuff. And there was a big event. Most of the cast was drunk, you know, and they were doing their show. Remember
that? The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Was live from the bar, which looks nothing like the bar.
Yeah, if you go into the Cheers bar in Boston, it doesn't look like the show.
But you
gotta
go.
They were all drinking and having a good time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was. I mean, party. If it was my, a show, especially if you were on it the whole time, like Ted Danson was, you know, it was great. So that was on this date in 1993. So we'll do some television show themes this morning. Cheers was one of those shows that I, when I say I grew up with Cheers, I really mean it. Like, the show was on when I was a little kid. It started when I was a kid, a show that I couldn't watch because it was on too late. And yet, as I grew up, I could then start watching it, and then I really started to love it. And then, when you know, by the time it was over, I was in college, for crying out loud. So I really did grow up with this show. But it was on Thursday nights, which, you know, meant the next day was Friday. So it was always this feel-good feeling, like going to school the next day, and was heading into the weekend, and
yep.
Cheers was on. And, you know, God. And it was common to see, like, Kevin McHale made an appearance on the show, and Wade Boggs, and, you know, there was, it was just this Bostonian feel. It was a great, great show. To grow up in New England and to be around the Boston sports and have Cheers on was a very cool thing.
I mean, you think back to then, NBC owned Thursday nights for, like, decades.
Killer lineup. Killer lineup, I mean, on, you know, Thursday.
There was a little-known show that was wrapping up, I believe, like, it was they're wrapping up their third season. Before Cheers, before the final episode of Cheers. And it still wasn't rating. I mean, it was rating okay, but it wasn't the number one show. That was Seinfeld.
No, really? They carried it on through.
Yeah, Seinfeld
Thursday Night Lineup was amazing.
Seinfeld was an hour-long episode that night, and it was the episode where NBC rejected George and Jerry's pilot.
Interesting.
Because they said it wasn't interesting.
Wow, that's great.
But,
yeah, they did the Cosby Show, Family Ties,
yeah.
Cheers. There was Wings, I think, that was on,
yep.
that
Wings
night.
Was the Cheers spinoff.
Yeah, it was the Cheers. Yeah, exactly. So.
And you got Friends later on. I mean, just a decade. I mean, just Thursday night, you just knew. No other network touched NBC on Thursday nights.
And Woody Harrelson got, you know, basically we came to know Woody Harrelson because of the show. And now he's in every single movie I have ever seen in my life.
Well, he is a good actor.
He is an amazing, he is probably the best work ethic of any actor. He's in every movie.
Yeah.
I see him. I just saw a preview for some Venom, Spider-Man thing. Or no, maybe it's just Venom. He's in that.
Yep.
Like, when do you not work? Whether it's a cameo or a starring role, Woody Harrelson just gets so much work.
And the roles aren't consistent either.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Kelsey Grammer played Frasier Crane for 20-something years on the Frasier show, so he carried that character for a really, really, really long time. You know, Christy Alley was on the show, Rhea Perlman, John Ratzenberger was the Pixar voice.
In every Pixar movie.
In every Pixar movie. So it's phenomenal stuff. Phenomenal stuff. So
they need to do a Cheers reunion.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. You know, we had talked about this a while ago. Ted Danson continues to get work. Like, he's been working and he's been on television for 40 years.
I mean,
he's in a show called The Mayor, I think.
Yeah, he took a little break after Cheers.
Yeah.
And then he went right back to it. And I mean, producing hits. I mean, people love The Good Place. Or
The Good Place. He was on Becker.
Yeah.
He just continues to continue to be on your television all for 40 plus years now. Ted Danson. So again, we're honoring Cheers on this date in 1993. But last night, let's get to the basketball game last night, because I've been critical of this play-in tournament. You know that. You've been hearing me say that. But there's a point where you just got to go, I can complain about it, but I'm just might as well enjoy it. But in my criticism so far of this over the first three games before last night's Lakers-Warriors clash, I think we're justified. I don't think there was a level of urgency that you felt in these games. I never got a desperate Game 7 feel, even though, you know, one of the games, Boston and Washington, was not a Game 7 situation. But in the other two, I never felt that. I never felt like there was a winner-go-home sort of element of a Game 7 that was into these games. And even in the first half of the game last night, I felt like, well, here we go. We're getting four kind of duds to start this thing off. And I know we did it in the bubble, but it kind of doesn't count because the bubble was trying to make it valuable for teams to be there. This is when it really mattered. Like, this is when they were like, we're going to try this. We're going to try this where we're going on the road and playing in arenas and playing in front of people. This is what we're going to do. And almost a full season, no big long break. And we'll see how this works. And I thought, this is not working. This is not giving people entertaining basketball. It is not giving people the sort of urgent basketball that you want when you watch teams that have a lot to play for and a lot on the line. And don't get me wrong, Boston and Washington, the loser of that game still got to play, but you don't want to be your back to the wall. You want to get that seventh seed and start the playoffs. And instead, I got boring basketball. And I watched the second half of the Memphis-San Antonio game, and Memphis, again, a very good defensive team, one of the top defensive teams in the league. They really clamped down San Antonio, and the Spurs shot like 35% in the game. And that wasn't entertaining. And then the Lakers open up this game, and they don't look ready to play at all. At all. Anthony Davis can't hit shots. LeBron's not playing particularly well. The role players on the Lakers aren't chipping in. Golden State's off to a big run, right? They look like they're going to roll away with this. They're leading by 12. And then in the third quarter, the switch happens. And this changes the whole dynamic of the game, and it changes sort of the consistent run of these play-in games. The Lakers in the third quarter said, we are not losing this game. LeBron started playing well. They moved Anthony Davis to center. He started hitting shots. Nick Caruso's fantastic, by the way. He was good in the bubble last year. He was great in the third quarter. They were able to find things that were working for them. They got Anthony Davis. Andre Drummond was on Davis and locking him down. They got away from that, opened up Davis a little bit more, and they played better defense. They really trapped Golden State in a number of different areas and sort of contained Curry. They only held the Warriors. The Warriors scored only 21 points in the fourth quarter last night. And that's incredible. But the most important thing were the two superstars, LeBron James and Steph Curry, going out on that floor and saying, we're not losing. Yep, there is a tomorrow for one of us, but not tonight. Tonight, they gave everything they had. And I found this riveting. I found it riveting. I don't care that I had to get up early for this. I stayed up. It was nearly midnight when this thing's over in the Central Time. I could not stop. I would not give up on this game. And I'm glad I didn't, because to get LeBron getting poked in the eye by Draymond Green, falling to the ground. Oh no, is he going to get up? Oh boy. Oh, and well, let's be honest. Some of us got a little cynical, like, all right, LeBron, this is what he does.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and he hits some shot, and then he goes, oh my God, look what a hero. Yeah, and he did. He did. He goes and he hits a shot. It's amazing.
I mean, the whole thing, it was fantastic.
It really was a good game.
The end of that game was just, I mean, it was a fight.
My favorite part of the last few seconds of possessions were the Lakers, they're guarding Curry 40 feet from the basket.
Yeah.
Like, because they know he can drain these things. And they're like, instead of just giving him a little space and going, you know what, hang on, like, we're not going to, like, no, they were catching him at half court.
Listen, I mean, I think it was the final basket that they made. LeBron had Steph Curry covered.
Right.
And Curry just throws up this rainbow three from about 30 feet out. And he drills. I mean, he drains. I mean, nothing but net. And you're looking at it like, this guy. It reminds you that he probably is the best shooter in NBA history.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Because and I mean, just these shots that he makes, no one takes.
And let me tell you something. This is exactly what you wanted. But here's the problem with this. And again, I'm not trying to be grumpy old man. It was better in my day. I get trying new, and I don't want to sound like a broken record because I know I've been super critical of this. But again, I went to dinner with my son. I came back. I had Memphis San Antonio on while I was doing some writing and prepping and all that stuff. Watching the second half. And I like the Grizzlies. They're the team of my area. I've probably seen them more with just throwing some basketball on locally than any team. Ja Morant is awesome. And Jonas Valanciunas had a double-double. And Dillon Brooks had 24 points. And they're a fun young team that has really worked hard on the defensive end of the basketball court. They have no business being in a situation where they could knock Golden State out of the playoffs. None. What we got last night from the Warriors and Lakers, that both teams deserve to be in the postseason.
Yes.
Both teams deserve to have a series, a seven-game series where we could see that. I like Memphis, but the idea that they, in a one-game shot, could knock Golden State, and Steph Curry out of the playoffs is insane to me.
Yeah, and the only reason why it's going to happen is because Golden State left everything in L.A.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm telling you right now, I know it's easy to pick Golden State because they got Steph Curry in there at home. That is a really pesky defensive basketball team in the Grizzlies. They're enough to give you problems, and that's all it takes in a one-game situation. That's all it takes. is one team making shots and then preventing you and making it difficult for you to make it. In a seven-game series, you figure out what they do, and then you figure out how to get around that with your talent because they're more talented than Memphis. But in one game, 48 minutes of basketball, if you start locking down players, and maybe Steph Curry isn't hitting everything he sees, maybe he's just off by a millimeter, then all of a sudden Memphis is going to get the 8 seed over what we got last night? That's a hard sell to the American public. I'm sorry, that's a hard sell. Because if you were a person that stayed up and watched that, you went, my God, I really hope Golden State wins that game because, man, they didn't look like they deserved to lose tonight. And, man, they look like a team that would be super dangerous for the Utah Jazz. But instead, because of the way this works, Memphis has got their shot. They got their and this is no knock on Memphis. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not doing that. Memphis is a fun team. They got a lot of good young talent, but they're not Golden State. I don't care. They're not Golden State.
Yep.
And it could happen. It could. I hope it doesn't.
And that's what you want. I mean, you know, yeah, it could be a coming out party for the Memphis Grizzlies. They're a young team.
Sure.
But you want to see the old guard there. You want to see the Warriors, even though they're an 8 seed, even though they could end up getting swept by Utah. You want to see them in there. Yep. You want to see them fighting it out.
I thought they deserved, like watching them last night, I said they deserved to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Except for that third quarter where they started becoming victims to what the Lakers were doing defensively, they looked sharp in that first half. All right, we'll have more of this coming up. I want to switch gears to baseball because last night we had another one. Yep, another no-hitter. What is going on in MLB? We'll get back to the NBA coming up this hour. It is Wake Up Call. It is a Throwback Thursday on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Hey, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection just to find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. That's the theme from Roseanne as we continue with our TV theme song theme today. On this date, 1993, the last episode of Cheers aired. Roseanne was the number two show in the Nielsen ratings behind 60 Minutes.
Yep.
60 Minutes was a very popular show. Is it still? Do you think is it a top rated show?
I guess.
I haven't checked the TV Nielsen ratings in forever today. Nah. I used to see it all the time in the newspaper, and I was always fascinated by it because I wanted to get into the media business. But 60 Minutes was always up there. I remember when I was a kid, that's what Pat Summerall would tease. Remember back in the old days with him and Madden?
Yeah, except his tease didn't come. Well, then they added except on the West Coast.
Except on the West Coast.
60 Minutes never followed football.
There would be like a cold day in New York. Like the Giants would be playing Dallas or something, or Soldier Field. Coming up next, 60 Minutes, followed by your local news, except on the West Coast. You people still have a long way to go to bedtime. Here at Soldier Field. Last episode of Cheers aired on the state. That's why we're doing it for Throwback Thursday. So you get a no-hitter, and 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 you get a no-hitter. Six. We've had six already this season.
I told you yesterday, right after I said, I think I have our dumb of the day at the end of the show, right? And it was because we didn't even mention, and I'm failing to remember the guy's name.
Spencer Trumbull?
Spencer Trumbull. We didn't even mention his no-hitter yesterday.
Uh-oh. Totally missed it on my calendar.
So I thought we had it. I was like, hey, you know what? We didn't even mention, we didn't give Tigers pitcher Spencer Trumbull his
We should have given him his due. Kind of blew it off.
And we're not going to because now we got Corey Kluber to talk about.
Corey Kluber threw one the next day. Because no-hitters apparently are a trend in Major League Baseball.
They're easy to come by.
Man, oh man, this is crazy. Somebody hire a hitting coach, please?
Well, it's not only that, but as many people have pointed out, all the no-hitters, six of them this year, have came against three teams.
It's Baltimore, Cleveland, and Texas.
Yep.
So those three teams, get your act together, fire your hitting coach, and hire a new hitting coach.
Or don't. Let's see if we can
get... Or don't. Let's see to if see if another, we can get 50.
Yeah. Can we get another one tonight?
Yeah. Why not? Let's just keep this trend going. Goodness gracious. I mean, like, there was a part of me that... Okay, I was in the restaurant last night with my son. And we were talking and having a good time. And my eyes could see the bar and the sports. They're on the bar. So they had the Predators hockey game on one TV.
Naturally.
And they had Major League Baseball Network on the other TV. And Major League Baseball Network was showing the Angels game. And I was kind of watching it. And I was like, all right. And I just looked down, talking to my son, look up. Then they switch. The game, all of a sudden, the Angels aren't playing anymore. And it's the Yankees-Texas game. And I go, oh. And I'm watching this going, and I can barely see it. But I could tell it was kind of a big deal. And I'm watching this. Like, they're, like the, just on the camera, without hearing the audio, the way the camera was showcasing him, showcasing the catcher. I go, I wonder if something's going down. And then he threw the ball, and then it was a ground ball, and they threw it to first base, and then everybody lost their mind. And then I went, oh, my God, there's another no-hitter. But then I thought, well, since I don't know, maybe it's a perfect game. I don't know. But I know it's a no-hitter. I know it's a no-hitter,
yeah,
at least.
He's being mobbed.
Right? He's being mobbed. They're going crazy. So I just interrupted the conversation I was having with my son and one of his friends who was at the restaurant that he works at. And I said, I think the Yankees just threw a no-hitter. I said, I think that's six already this season. Neither one of those kids cared. But I didn't care. I just blurted that out. So then I found out, you know, when I got home, I got more of the details. And, yeah, 101 pitches, 9 strikeouts, 1 walked batter. And here's an interesting thing. It's the first Yankee no-hitter since David Cone threw a perfect game in 1999.
Which sounds surprising, but not
really. Really surprising.
No, but not really when you think about the fact that the Yankees have not had really good starting pitching.
That's very true. When you really look at the devil of the details. But you would think in 22 years,
they would have had one.
Somebody would have banged out one given, you know.
I mean, it's the Yankees.
We seem to be loading up on no-hitters over the last few years. And it's the 12th in Yankee history, including the perfect game in the World Series. So, I mean, you're talking about an elite club Corey Kluber has just joined in Yankee baseball lore. Only 12 pitchers in the history of the franchise have thrown a no-hitter. I mean, Jim Abbott threw one. He had the pitcher with one hand. He threw one. You have Dwight Gooden, who threw one in 96. You have David Cohn, who threw one perfect game in 99, as I just mentioned. You had David Wells, who threw a perfect game in 98, hung over. You had Andy Hawkins. Andy Hawkins pitched a no-hitter and lost. How do you do that? Well, walk a lot of batters, make a lot of errors out in the field, and your bats don't come alive. So 12, I just named you 5. Plus Don Larson, that's 6. So I just named you half.
You're halfway there.
I'm halfway there in the Yankee no-hit lore.
But, you know, there's a larger issue going on now. I know that baseball raised the stitching. Is that the catalyst for all
that
these
might be
now?
Yeah, I don't know. I the problem that we're going to have is this: if you had okay, remember in what was that movie with The Incredibles? Remember the villain syndrome?
Yep.
Remember his famous line in his monologue where he said, "If everybody's super, nobody is." Everybody's getting a no-hitter. How special are they?
Yeah, do we stop celebrating them?
I mean, are we just like last night, because again, I'm a you know baseball guy, I went, wow, another one. But I'm wondering if you just keep producing them, are you going to lose the enthusiasm when they happen? Remember when they used to just kind of, remember like they cut away to the broadcast like they did last night? Here's a guy, he's got a no-hitter. How many of us are just like, eh, no-hitter? Whatever. There's 500 of them. Fine. Here's one. Here's two. Here's three. It's probably going to be two next week.
And not only that, I mean, yeah, we have 6 no-hitters, but we also have a lot of close calls, too, where it was a one-hit ball game or a no-hitter was taken into the eighth inning.
He only walked one guy. He walked Charlie Culberson. That was it. He only walked one guy. The John Means, remember, he had the third strike passed ball situation that prevented him from getting a perfect game. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's too bad, because I love no-hitters, I don't need a steady diet of them. It's May 20th, and there's 6 already on the calendar.
Yeah.
Six? There are years where there's zero. Now we've got 6 month and a half in.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
A few TV themes from 1993, because on this date in 93, the final episode of Cheers aired. One for the Road was the name of the show. And it ended kind of, if you remember the ending of it, remember Sam was just sort of at the bar and Norm says something about you always go back to the, your first love. And he kind of looked around the bar and then there was somebody was coming down, knocked on the door and he said, sorry, we're closed. And then he fixed the picture that was hanging on the back wall and that was it.
Yep,
and then it faded to black and that was it. And again, the show was over. 11 seasons of Cheers. And it all ended on this date.
What a great ensemble show, too.
Yeah, it really was.
It's one of those. I mean, I don't really see too many TV shows like this anymore where they put together such an amazing cast that, I mean, I think the last one might have been The Office. And just on sitcoms. I'm not talking about dramas because dramas seem to be ruling the world right now, especially on all the streaming networks. But, you know, just an ensemble cast where you get involved in every single character. Well, maybe Ted Lasso is that for now.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you get into the characters.
It's it was the second highest rated finale of all time behind MASH, and rightfully so. It was, you know, again, it came at the perfect time. I mean, you talk about television, certain moments in history, it comes at a perfect time. And Cheers in the 80s, just the way NBC had their lineup, it was perfect to ride that wave as much as you possibly could. So we're celebrating TV themes here in from 1993. Also talking about the NBA last night with LeBron James. Here is LeBron James in that final wild shot that he hit with about a minute left to go to put the Lakers up for good.
Clock at 7. James, two defenders on him. To Caldwell Pope inside. He's tied up by Green. Throws it back up top. James puts up the three. Oh, it's gone! LeBron James from downtown!
So this came after he got poked in the eye by Draymond Green, and then he said he was seeing three rims and chose the middle.
Yeah, I do have him talking to his trainer about that.
Let's do that. Let's air that.
What's happening out there?
He's winning. I see three of them out there.
Hit the one in the middle.
Right. Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah. Well, how come nobody says take the one on the right?
Yeah, I know. It's always the one in the middle.
Yeah.
So are you really seeing three if you can see the one in the middle?
My wife works for an optometrist. I might ask him.
Yeah.
I'll be like, wait, let me just ask you a question.
Yep.
When I get poked
in all seriousness, too.
In all seriousness, if I get poked in the eye and I see three things, how come the right one isn't where I should go? Or the left one? Why is it the middle? Is there a reason for that? Is there a scientific reason why the one in the middle is the go-to target? And here's the scientific reason behind it. Just go take the middle.
Now, I mean, I don't want to be a cynic.
Right.
You know, and especially when I talk about my Lakers. But I can't help but think LeBron, like, oh, I'm seeing three baskets out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're like, okay, LeBron, you already got the cape.
LeBron does, like, LeBron lives by a simple mantra, which is don't ever let a good circumstance go to waste, right? Don't ever let a good drawback go to waste. Why not milk that for all it's worth? Poked in the eye, down on the floor, holding his head. Oh, no. Is he going to continue? And he gets up and hits a shot and then says, I was seeing triple. You're seeing triple. Okay.
You don't need a Willis Reed moment, LeBron.
Yeah, right?
That's why, I mean, at the end of the game, there was a little exchange between Steph and LeBron. They finally hugged each other on the court. They were smiling with each other. And I can almost see that LeBron was like, I couldn't see a thing, like pointing at his eye. Like, I couldn't see the basket. And Steph just kind of gives him this smile like, shut up.
Shut up. Enough.
Come on.
We've rode this for years with you. Stop it.
You won the game. Just say, hey, man, you know, it was a tough shot. I made it.
Wow. Stephen A. Smith last night was like, that was luck. Now, I'm no disrespect to LeBron James and his skill, but that was – I agree. He just hucked it up there.
Yeah.
Steph came in for the defense, and he just hauled it. A lot of it's muscle memory, being an NBA player, shooting baskets all the time.
You know where you are in the court. You know how hard you got to hit it.
Yeah. So you're relying on that. but seeing three rims. If you're seeing three rims, get out of the game. Come on, man. Like, go to the doctor. Go check yourself out. You're seeing three rims in an NBA game. So the Warriors get Memphis. That is the Western Conference play-in game for seed 8. And then in the East, it is going to be Washington against Indiana.
God, is anyone going to watch that tomorrow?
No.
Or tonight?
No. Not at all.
I mean, I can see people watching Warriors Grizzlies again.
Yeah.
I can see people, because, you know, you got a superstar in Steph Curry that you want to see. You're hoping that he does win.
I sent this out on Twitter last night. I said, listen, remember the eight seed Kentucky Wildcats in 2014? This is the same thing. Right, I hate to say this because, man, everyone wants to ride how awesome Phoenix is. Phoenix ain't winning this series. They're not beating the Lakers in 7 games. They're not. Chris Paul is a great leader, but that team is too young. LeBron is too experienced. He's not going down in the first round of the Phoenix Suns. It's not happening. Phoenix got the 2 seed and got the worst draw possible in the playoffs. They got a LeBron healthy, Anthony Davis healthy Laker team that is ready to repeat. You're going to beat LeBron James 4 out of 7 times in the playoffs? When was the last time LeBron James lost in the conference playoffs? Not the finals, the conference playoffs. When was the last time he was exited out of that? 2010?
Yeah.
Is that it? Because he didn't make the playoffs his first year with the Lakers. So, 2010? Is that what we're doing? The last time somebody beat him in the conference playoffs en route to the finals?
Yeah.
Ain't going to be Phoenix. Now, I like Phoenix, but ain't going to be Phoenix. Imagine being a 2 seed and getting that team that played last night. Oh, Anthony Davis, you're not playing good at power forward. We're going to move you to center, even though you don't like center, but trust us, it'll work. And it did. It did. Right? They found Golden State, Andre Drummond, you're playing really good on defense. And we're going to switch Davis over here. LeBron's sending bounce passes through the lane to Davis, alley-oop passes to Davis. Caruso's driving.
Yeah, that one pass to Caruso is just
wonderful.
It's nasty.
Wonderful. He did it like with that spin you do where you got a defender on one side and you just sort of bounce it around him.
Yeah, right.
Fantastic.
If I'm Caruso, I'm nervous to take that shot.
Oh, no kidding. You don't. You miss
can't
that
miss
one.
It. You not have a to chance. Make that one, because if not, you know, LeBron's not passing to you ever again.
Not a chance.
It's a done
you better
deal.
Knock that down. You better knock that down.
But yeah, I mean, if you're Phoenix and you're watching that game last night, you're like, okay, great.
I know, seriously. By the way, like I said earlier, Alex Caruso's been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's really good. LeBron was talking about him at the end of the game last night. He's man, the guy works hard, comes off the bench, gives him 30 solid minutes, 14 points. He's great. And this was, again, Anthony Davis had 25 points in the game last night. He was their leading scorer after having, what, 3 points in the first half? What did he have in the first half? Nothing. Nothing. I think he made 1 shot.
I mean, well, both he and LeBron.
He and LeBron in the first half.
It's like they didn't even bother showing up. And then
seriously.
And then it was like at halftime, they all sat down and talked. And, you know, I think it was almost like what I imagine is LeBron turned to Anthony and go, hey, this is a playoff game, right? We need to start playing.
Now we got to get out of here with a win. We do not. And as I said earlier today, this is one of the drawbacks of it, is that you allow a less than team. And again, Memphis is a fun team, but they're not on this level to play one good game of basketball to eliminate one of your, you know, marquee franchises and marquee superstars out of the postseason when this is a player driven league. This is not a team driven league. This is a player-driven league. This is a superstar-driven league. This is why people watch games outside of their own markets. That's why people in Miami will watch NBA when the Heat aren't playing. This is why other people around the country watch. It's star power. And Memphis has no star power. Ja Morant is still an up-and-coming star, but he's not Steph Curry, for crying out loud. And he's not Draymond Green. We've had a steady diet of this team when they were winning championships, enough to say, look, you're looking at the NBA scoring leader and Steph Curry, one of the all-time greatest shooters in the history of the game. And that's something you can sell to America in a series against the Utah Jazz. How, if you're the NBA and you got a better 1-8 matchup with Golden State going up against Utah than you do a 4-5 matchup between Dallas and the Clippers. Right? That you have a better 2-7 matchup in the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns than you do Denver-Portland, a 3-6 matchup. That is what you want if you're Adam Silver. Memphis, if they play that one magical game on the road in San Francisco, disrupts that. That's the threat. Now, listen, don't get me wrong, and don't say, well, if they beat Golden State, they earned that. That's the problem with the play-in game. They didn't earn that. They didn't. They didn't finish in the top eight. Golden State and the Lakers last night should have been locked into a series, even if it meant we didn't get the classic game last night that we got. Those two teams should have already been in to the playoffs, already locked in, getting ready for their opening round series. But instead, Memphis has a chance to ruin the party. And God bless Memphis if they do. But that's not really what you're hoping for in a star-driven league. You want Steph Curry going up against the Utah Jazz and Donovan Mitchell, who's going to come back after missing a month. You want that because he's a star. Utah's got a number one seed on the line. And this is a great conversation piece. Utah might dismantle Memphis in four games. But Golden State, you could see Golden State winning that series.
You could. I mean, Steph Curry is the type of player who can take over and,
exactly.
and take him up to the promised land.
And, I don't think Phoenix has a chance in a seven-game series against the Lakers. It was funny. I was watching Tim Legler last night. He sort of implied it. Like, he was talking about the Lakers, right? And he was saying, and, you know, when the Lakers are doing this and this, they're just going to be really hard for the series that are coming their way in the playoffs. And I'm like, you've already got them beating the Phoenix Suns with that statement if you're talking about multiple series. Imagine being Phoenix, a two seed. Like, really? This is what we're getting? Watching that, like you said, watching that last night? People going crazy, going, you got to be kidding. That's what we, every night for seven, hope, you know, at the most seven games, hopefully we can get them done in 4, 5, 6, but if it goes 7, we're going to put up with that every night? Forget it. And that's what you're getting, that third quarter explosion by the Lakers, where they figured out how to get back into that basketball game and got back into that basketball game was impressive. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue along this morning. Glad you could join us. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to Kevin Bollinger, is that what it is?
Ryan
Bollinger. Why did I say Kevin? Ryan Bollinger, we'll talk to him about the PGA Championship. That's underway right now at the Ocean Course. In Kiawah Island, we'll get the latest update on the weather and what that's going to be like for golf's second championship as we continue along on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1993 television, as Cheers ended on this date in that year. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. Full House was on in 93?
Yes, it was.
Well, did it start or was it ending? What were the years for Full House?
Oh, I don't know the 80s years.
80s into the 90s?
But I can tell you this was the 10th ranked show of 93.
Oh, my goodness. Well, fantastic.
It ranked,
didn't know that.
It was
I learned something new today.
It was just behind Cheers. Cheers was the number 8 show that year.
Michael on Twitter said, before Wings and Seinfeld, Night Court was in the 9:30 slot.
Another good
that?
Show.
The late Harry Anderson.
He was
brilliant.
Who also made appearances on Cheers.
He was so good on Cheers as the con man.
Yeah.
There was a great episode.
Show.
There's a great episode where Coach gets conned. It's like, I think it's in the first season. Coach gets conned and they hire Harry to con the con man. But then Sam and Diane and everybody, Norm and everybody, believes that Harry worked for the con man because Harry lost the poker game to the con man. But then Harry comes through the back door to show that he conned the con man out of the money. It was a really fun episode. It's really fun. But that's what he used to do. And I used to try those tricks when I was young, and they never worked. Some of those quarter tricks and whatnot. And nobody worked. Because everybody watched Cheers. So everybody knew where that was coming from. I wasn't being very original in my con game. I love the one with the hat where he said, I can... He put a shot glass and he put a hat on top of the shot glass and he said, I'll bet you $10 I can drink that drink without picking up the hat. And they go, oh, come on, that's impossible. So he goes underneath the bar and he goes up and he goes, glub, 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 glub. And he goes, ah, see, I did it. And then Norm picks up the hat to see what happened. And when he picked up the hat, Harry grabbed the shot and drank it. He won his $10. It's the little things that made me happy on Cheers.
Yep.
The little things. That was it. So, oh boy. But nevertheless, I was pretty happy last night with that basketball game. I was really excited because I was getting really, really bored with these plays.
Oh, they were terrible.
They were really bad.
You had three stinkers right in a row. I know a lot of people were saying, like, oh, you know, the Grizzly Spurs game kind of got it. She's like, No, it didn't. I mean, yeah, sure. You had like a little flash in the pan excitement.
The Spurs came
it.
Back and like took a minor lead in that game, but yeah. I never felt like it was thrilling.
No,
I
what
never
you
felt
wanted
like it was exciting.
What you got last night was
solely great.
Especially that last quarter was just back and forth, and you're like, anyone can win this game.
That's right. It was great. It was absolutely great. Good for the NBA for at least giving us one of four that didn't disappoint. It's Wake Up Call.